This podcast is brought to you by Audible.com. Choose from over 85,000 titles and get a free audiobook download at audibletrial.com/Bobby Blackwolf. More information after the midpoint break. Microsoft announced that indie developers can self-publish on the Xbox One, which started a series of events that caused one indie developer to seemingly leave the game industry altogether. Tonight is July 28th, 2013, and the Bobby Blackwolf Show featuring your calls and chat comments is up next. So you would say even if... Okay, I'll let you go. You talk. Wow, what happened to your voice? Thank you, Skype. So video games, that's what the show is about.
This is Edwin Akeriper from Sweden.
And what's with all the Halo hate, Bob? You've been hating on Halo a lot lately.
I just don't like shooters. I'm not saying it's a bad game, I just don't like it. Billy O.K. says he can't be seen in public playing games that aren't hardcore. What would people say? And what up, G and Chad is once again talking about wrestling. That's why. It's not because they hate the fans. It's more because they have to start from scratch.
Hogwash later.
From a little room in Atlanta, Georgia, Bobby Blackwolf.
Chicken legs. People in chat are talking about chicken legs. They're making me hungry. Oh, check-in lag. Oh, I see. Hello, everybody. Welcome to yet another edition of the Bobby Blackwolf Show, where we discuss the current news affecting the video game industry, as well as sometimes reminisce about gaming's history. My name is Bobby Blackwolf. If you're joining us live here on the Voice of Geeks Network at VogNetwork.com, head on over to our chat room, live.vognetwork.com. I'll be trying to read intelligent comments from chat throughout the night, apparently about chicken legs. And you can also check into the site, because there was check-in lag, just like Fifth Dream and Tiger Claw. They were the first two to get through the bones of the chicken leg and the wings and the thighs, and were able to check in and get some points and loot. You can check in as well. There is a passphrase somewhere in the episode that you will be able to put into the site, and you will then be able to check in like everybody else, get the points and loot, and you probably won't have any chicken legs to go through because you'll be doing it sometime during the week instead of right now. A little bit later on, I'm going to be opening up our Skype line and our toll-free number for you to call in. Skype line is Bobby Blackwell Show. That is all one word, or toll-free in North America, 1-888-36-GAME-1, or you can contact me on my website, bobbyblackwolf.com. So to start off, because I know some people have been asking, and or they probably heard me talk about this if you're in chat during the week, no, I do not have my Oculus Rift yet. It has not shipped yet, which is actually kind of par for the course. It will ship sometime in this coming week, and then I will get it the following week. But it doesn't matter because I'm actually been encouraged to tell you that I'm currently playing Saints Row 4 right now, and it really doesn't matter when my Oculus Rift gets here because I've got enough to do before I get to that. And if you're wondering about what I think about Saints Row 4, I can't tell you yet. But what I will go ahead and say is that I will not be doing this during any premieres of any shows, but on Wednesday, August 14th, that evening, I can stream to you the first hour or so of Saints Row 4. So that is August 14th. You will be able to see the first hour of Saints Row 4. It comes out on August 20th. I will be able to show you a little bit of it on the 14th. All the wub-wub, says Shadow Next Gen. So let's go ahead and get to the big news. There was basically a news story and then the fallout that comes after it, and that's what we're going to be talking about tonight. And it's Microsoft doing another policy reversal. They're doing another Xbox 180, and this is kind of interesting because this shows that, you know, Microsoft, they made some stupid decisions, and the internet started getting really pissed off at them about it. And there were very vocal people about Microsoft, how they were out of touch because they made certain decisions. And so what Microsoft has done multiple times, and this is the latest incarnation of this, is that they have decided to change their decision. They changed their mind, and they actually wound up saying, okay, fine, that's the way you guys want it. That's exactly the way we're going to do it. And people are now, the same people are upset at them because now they've changed their mind. Now they no longer have any conviction. Because they have all these policies and they're reversing them, so that, you know, they're flip floppers. Even though they're now doing exactly what you want them to do, and I think what it is just people are just sick and tired of Microsoft, and they're just grasping at whatever Microsoft whatever they can to say, this is why I don't like the Xbox One, this is why I don't like Microsoft, they're so out of touch, even though what they're doing is adapting and saying, okay, fine, we were wrong, let's fix it. Here's how we're going to fix it. And they're like, oh, well, you shouldn't have thought of doing it that way the first place. Because it's like, people are like, so what more do you want? They're like, well, they should have gotten a time machine and not actually put in the policy in the first place. Engadget reports that Microsoft's Xbox One is getting decidedly more indie-friendly with the confirmation that Microsoft, from Microsoft, that the forthcoming game console will double as a developer debug unit. So each $500 unit purchased at retail this holiday will also run in-progress game code, enabling developers to get in on the action a lot more affordably. Because debug versions of game consoles cost far more than retail game consoles and tend to look slightly different from their retail counterparts. Such a move would not make sense without eased publishing regulations. The Xbox 360 allows for self-publishing only in the indie section, and all other games require a Microsoft-certified publisher to distribute physically or digitally. Going forward with the Xbox One, developers can publish their own games. Microsoft's looking at a quick turnaround on the code verification as well, and there'll be more information at Gamescom coming up here in August. Now, what's kind of also interesting is that the guys that make Pinball Arcade, they used to have a publisher, Crave Entertainment. Well, Crave went out of business and lost their publishing license, so the Pinball Arcade is no longer available on Xbox Live Arcade. They announced to their subscribers to their newsletter that the Xbox 360 is also going to allow self-publishing as well, starting in the next few months. So this is not, Microsoft has not commented on that. They're calling that one a rumor. They have confirmed the Xbox One allowing indies to self-publish. This was one of the major things that the PS4 touted, was the ability to have indies self-publish on the PlayStation 4. And that's why they had all those indie developers come out on stage at E3. They had Jonathan Blow come out and talk about The Witness at the PS4 reveal, and it was because of their policy of allowing indies to self-publish, which is something Microsoft did not allow. You had to have a publisher, which could have been Microsoft Game Studios, but you had to have a publisher that had retail titles in order to get a game on Xbox Live Arcade. And that's apparently going away now with the Xbox One and even being retroactive to the 360. From Microsoft's Vice President of Xbox, Mark Whitten, he says, quote, our vision is that every person can be a creator. Every Xbox One can be used for development. That every game and experience can take advantage of all the features of Xbox One and Xbox Live. This means self-publishing. This means Kinect, cloud, achievements. This means great discoverability on Xbox Live. We'll have more details on the program and the timeline at Gamescom in August, unquote. Now, considering their track record of discoverability with the indie section and XNA, I'm kind of highly doubting that part, but we'll see how it goes. You know, if they really are committed to this, they've seen the reaction when Sony, you know, slapped them down and said, oh, you know, yeah, you're committed to indies and you bring out the biggest indie developer in the world and tout him alone, and that was Minecraft. We're going to show you all these guys, and everybody's like, yay. And you know, there were several indie developers that were severely insulting and blasting Microsoft about their decision to not allow indies to self-publish. Well, now they've kind of fixed that. And so Engadget reached out to a handful of indie developers who have been outspoken on the issue. So Retro City Rampage developer Brian Provinciano, who ported his game to Xbox Live Arcade on the 360 as well as a variety of other platforms, says, quote, I'm very happy to see this. After all the developers have spoken out, they're finally listening. However, this is yet another example of their changing policy. But it's sounding better than it was when the whole story was revealed. Make no mistake, while this is a great thing, it's again not the equivalent to what other platforms offer. On PS4, for example, developers can tap right into the system, use every bit of RAM and all of the power. Indies have access to everything that AAA studios do, from platform support to development and release. The indication on Xbox One is that it's seemingly Xbox Live Indie Games 2.0. Instead of XNA, it's Windows 8. Which is already struggling to gain developer interest, and it will gain a boost from developers wishing to target the console. However, it won't be as full-fledged as published games on the system. So, and there, this Engadget article, I'll link it, I'm not going to read everything, but it's basically, it's, you know, people are hesitant because they've worked with Microsoft in the past, and, you know, they're hesitant to see if they've actually changed, but this is a good first step. Now, the reason this is segueing into the next story is because two of the most outspoken anti-Microsoft indie developers, and two of the most well-known indie developers because they were featured in a documentary that has been very well received, were Jonathan Blow, developer and designer of Braid, and Phil Fish, the developer and designer of Fez. And both of them got very upset at media for seeking their comment on the issue, and they lashed back. They didn't just say, I don't have a comment. They actually got really pissed off that the media was, you know, wasting their time by asking them about this. And at the time, this was a rumor. And, you know, and that's kind of what Jonathan Blow was saying on Twitter, was that this was a rumor. He didn't want to comment on the rumor. And there wasn't enough information for him to go on. He didn't want to talk about it. Now, Phil Fish, creator of Fez, reacted really harshly. And, you know, basically he's very outspoken. And he's a very good villain. He's very easy to hate. His Twitter avatar is Andy Kaufman, for crying out loud. I mean, and that's the persona that he has created for himself, either willingly or unwillingly. That's the persona he has created. He's gone on and said at GDC panels, he said, I think all Japanese games suck. He has directly insulted PC gamers, saying that, you know, they would never, he doesn't want them experiencing Fez because it's meant to be played on a couch with a controller, period. And then he released it on Steam. But he's also been very critical of Microsoft because of the patch debacle, where he screwed up the first patch to the Xbox Live Arcade game and it corrupted save files, and Microsoft wanted $50,000 to have him fix his own patch. And he didn't do it. So Microsoft put the original patch, the buggy patch, online and said, okay, fine. And then they got rid of that requirement, and he announced that he was going to actually patch Fez. Well, unfortunately, I'm not exactly sure if that's going to happen. And it really depends on if this story is actual fact and not Andy Kaufman. Polygon reports that Fez 2 has been canceled by developer Polytron, according to a tweet on the official account. And the tweet read, quote, it's with a heavy heart that we announce that Fez 2 has been canceled and no longer in development. We apologize for the disappointment, unquote. Phil Fish did confirm the cancellation with Polygon via email, saying, yep, I'm done. No details have been given as to why the game has been canceled. The following message was posted on Polytron later, and it says, quote, Fez 2 is canceled. I am done. I take the money and I run. This is as much as I can stomach. This isn't the result of any one thing, but the end of a long, bloody campaign. You win, unquote. What led up to this? And it all stems from the Xbox One announcement. Now, Phil Fish, very opinionated, very outspoken, very antagonistic, very villainous. He plays the part of the villain very well. He trolls back at everybody. And like I said, his Twitter avatar is Andy Kaufman. Like, that's the persona he wants to show, is that he's like Andy Kaufman and we are all the Jerry Lawler to his Andy Kaufman. What kind of started this was a person who works, I think, for Game Trailers. He's the annoyed gamer. He's Marcus Beer. And Marcus Beer himself is a very opinionated, loudmouth, antagonistic, much maligned figure. Most developers don't want anything to do with him. He can't get an interview with anyone because they don't want to deal with him. Marcus Beer went on one of the Game Trailers video podcasts and basically bashed Jonathan Blow and Phil Fish, lashed out at them. So the show was Invisible Walls. During the episode, Beer touched on the media's recent efforts to reach out to indie developers during the reversal of the Xbox One's policies. Particularly Jonathan Blow and Fish, who decided to go bananas and bitch and moan about press questions. And so this was the quote from Marcus Beer on the podcast, or on this. He says, quote, gents, you were the guys that did Indie Game the movie, and some of you looked relatively normal in it. One of you looked like a total tosspot in it. I don't know what that means, but whatever. But you can't have it both ways. You're successful game designers. You're indie game designers. Hurrah, good for you, you hipsters. unquote. And so basically he basically said that they, you can't have it both ways. You can't come crawling to the press every time you have an announcement about one of your indie games and being some of the top well-known indie designers who have also really criticized the Xbox, you can't then say, you can't talk to us about this stuff. We only want you to cover us when we're good and ready. And that's kind of the way that he went about it. And Marcus Beer did not do any favors in what he said. So Phil Fish responded harshly in return, later tweeting, quote, "I hate this industry for this negativity and the criticism." Basically, they kind of went back and forth. And Phil Fish even actually told Marcus Beer to go kill himself, which turned out to be a quote from Futurama. But he didn't phrase it as a quote from Bender from Futurama. But it basically just said, you know, look at your life and look at mine and then go kill yourself, which I think is it's a Futurama quote. And Marcus Beer's like, oh, I've just had my life threatened by an indie designer because so it's very, it was a very toxic, very heated situation. So Phil made his Twitter account private, says Phil, Fez 2 is canceled, and that's it. All because the Xbox One changed their policies, and people wanted to know what he felt about it. Shadow Next Gen in chat over at live.vognetwork.com says, Phil Fish is no big loss. There are better indie games out there with creators that actually want to make games. Dungeon Buster says, who cares what his avatar is? If he wants to publicly be an ass, he shouldn't be surprised when someone pushes back. And Dungeon Buster also says that Marcus Beer is the Morton Downey Jr. of video game commentary. Fifth Dream says, gamers ruin everything with their entitled attitudes. And what's kind of interesting is watching the reaction is most people are like, okay, see ya. You know, and there are people that have even kind of come to Phil's defense. They're like, you know, it is pretty relentless what the internet does to creators like this. And, you know, does it really have to be that way? And should developers always be forced to take the high ground? And I've seen this firsthand. I mean, I'm not as attacked as other, you know, as people that are way more prominent. I'm not important enough to be attacked all the time. But I am attacked, personally, by people who used to listen to the show or people who are at places I've used to be at and stuff. And the internet, the anonymity of the internet is a very powerful thing for lots of people. And yes, Phil was an ass. Like, he was not a very pleasant person. If you got on his bad side, and most people got on his bad side. But what the internet dished back at him was worse. And then what happens is, like, it's kind of like a game of, like, you know, if you have siblings, which I don't, so I'm, you know, assuming that this is the case, and you get, like, in a punch war with a sibling when you're a kid. And it's like, you know, first person punches at, you know, on a scale of 1, let's say. But it felt like a 2 to you, so you punch back with a force of 2, which caused your brother or whatever to say, ow, that hurt, that felt like a 4. And so you keep going up in scale, harder and harder punches. You think you're going back at the same amount of force, but you're really doing double the force, and it turns into a full-scale fight with bruises and all that stuff. I heard that's what sibling life is like. And this is kind of the same thing. Where, you know, Phil punched, the internet punched back twice as hard, Phil punched back at the internet twice as hard, and stuff like that. And it really, watching Indie Game the movie, I don't know Phil personally, I've never met him, I've never even seen him. I have met Jonathan Blow and had one conversation with him, and it didn't end well for me. But knowing Phil, he probably does have some instability emotionally, which can happen to you. That the internet can wear you down emotionally. It can wear you down mentally. And it really wears on you, and eventually you just want to quit. And it's happened to me, and I don't get anywhere near the vitriol that Phil Fish gets. I've wanted to quit. I've wanted to just turn off the internet and walk away and say, I'm done. I've wanted to do that. You know, even in the last year, I've wanted to do that. I'm just not very public about it. You don't see that. But for somebody that's developing a video game or designing a video game, it doesn't matter if it's indie or AAA or anything like that, there's a lot of people that will, you know, give death threats over a video game. You know, Infinity Ward has to deal with death threats every day when they were doing with Call of Duty. You know, Bungie, you know, people are threatening them for whatever. You know? And that's a very real thing, and it wears on you after a while. You can sit there and say, until the cows come home, I don't care what other people say, I'm not going to take it personally. You do take it personally, because this is your baby. And Fez was Phil's baby. And a lot of people liked Fez, they just didn't like Phil. And that eventually wore on you. So if this is not a big publicity stunt for Fez 2, which it still could very well be, and he may cool off and change his mind, you know, there were two things that Phil could have done to help himself emotionally. And like I said, I don't know him personally, don't know anything really about him. He's Canadian, and he was in Indie Game, the movie, and he made Fez, which I enjoyed. He could dial back his outspokenness, which I don't think he would want to do. That's the kind of the best case scenario. Pull back. Don't punch as hard back. Stop the punch war. Be the bigger person and stop punching the other person. Or two, leave. That was honestly the second best scenario for him. And that's the one I think he's going to choose, if this is not a big publicity stunt Andy Kaufman style. Ronma says, I'm dealing with similar stuff in the cosplay fandom. When it stops being fun, you don't do it anymore. And Shadow Nexion says, this is why you avoid internet comments if possible. Around E3, the internet was impossible to deal with. That's why there's this great Twitter account. It's called Avoid Comments. And every day at about 12:30 Eastern, it posts something to remind you to not read internet comments. Now, one place you can read internet comments and post internet comments, VogNetwork.com. It's a great place to post internet comments. Dungeon Buster says, Fish brought out most of the vitriol on himself, but a lot of other devs either barely post anything or do what Kojima does and show the world the awesome sushi he's having. And if you're wondering why you don't hear that much on social media from other developers and big-name developers, it's because of this. This is a case study of why major studios and stuff don't have a really big Twitter presence, or if they do have a Twitter presence, it's their social media manager who continually just says, I cannot comment on rumors and speculation. Like, that's why you see that. It's because if they actually responded the way they want to, we have what happened between Phil Fish and the internet. The best thing that he could do for himself emotionally is get out. And yeah, Fez 2 is probably going to go away with him. But honestly, he's got the resume builder. And what I would tell him is that he could probably get a job doing computer work and design work and stuff like that outside of the game industry, and you know, somewhere up in Canada. I'm sure that, you know, do B2B, business-to-business application development, designing, stuff like that. He's got the resume for it, and you don't have to deal with the public. And honestly, I think that would be the best thing for him if this is what it looks like and it's not Andy Kaufman. Because really, if it's not fun anymore, you really shouldn't do it. And it's one thing to not have fun at a paying job that you don't own anything. But this is his company. It's his baby. And if it's not fun anymore, you leave. And that's really the best thing for you to do. And that's what I think he's done. ActF says, I truly hope this isn't a big publicity stunt. I would seriously hate him more than I do now. Rob Roberts wants to clarify that VogNetwork.com is also low traffic, so we can realistically monitor all comments, and we will ban you for being an asshat. Constructive criticism is fine. Being an asshat is not. And Dungeon Buster says, some devs can do the social thing well, like Notch. Others should just walk away from it. And Breakman says, so Bobby is telling us all we should quit our jobs. There's a difference between if it's a job that somebody else, you know, is hiring you to do, or doing something for yourself. And Polytron was Phil Fish's company. He was doing it basically on his own and stuff. And, you know, that is something that it's, you know, if it's time to walk away, it's time to walk away. That honestly would probably be the best thing for him, is to just get away. Get out of the industry. You had your hit. You had the notoriety. You were in a movie. But if it's too much for you, which it sucks that, this is the way that this industry is. All entertainment industries are like this as well. I mean, you know, look at the vitriol on, you know, entertainment. I mean, look at the vitriol on TMZ. Okay? The celebrities always have the people trying to tear them down. And the more available you are to be torn down, the more people will try. And the best thing to do is to get out of it. And luckily, Phil Fish can get out of it. Unlike a celebrity that's, you know, featured on TMZ, they will hound you, you know, as long as people want to know about you. The gaming industry, thankfully, is not like that in that sense, that once he gets out and if he gets into an unrelated field to gaming, he can basically just fade back into Wikipedia history and that's it. The best thing is to get out. If it really is affecting you mentally that much, get out. What some developers do, like the Team Meat guys that did Super Meat Boy, they basically said, okay, no more communication. No more Twitter, no more Facebook, no more forums, no more nothing. We're just going to sit back and make games. And that's what a lot of developers do. They don't read the message boards. Like, even companies that have their own message boards, a lot of times the majority of the developers don't actually go read the message boards. They have their community managers cull out the actual constructive parts and present those to the developers. The developers themselves don't participate in the community because of things like this. Dungeon Busters points out somebody else who had a lot of vitriol. He was the first hated game designer, Derek Smart. He says at one point Derek Smart had to come out and say that he wouldn't encourage anyone to go into the game industry. And that's true. I've actually seen that myself. I'm like, do I really want to get more into the video game industry than I am now? I mean, what I do now is a hobby. I don't make money from it. Not many people know who I am. And this is fun. Do I really want to get deeper into the rabbit hole? SJ Wonder Matt says, Cliffy B and David Jaffe kind of faded out since they backed away from the industry, although Cliffy B does come out to say some things. Which, like the, you know, Cliffy B and I kind of said somewhat the same thing, and we both got attacked for it. About the Microsoft reversal of policies and stuff like that. So, yeah, it's a shame that we won't get to play Fez 2. But honestly, Phil Fish is, to me, even though I may not agree with him, I think his personal and psychological well-being is a lot more important than a sequel to a game. And if this is what it takes to get him back emotionally and mentally on a path that, you know, where life is better, then this is what he should have done. If this is an Andy Kaufman-like stunt and we are all the Jerry Lawler to his Andy Kaufman, screw him. But I honestly do believe that this is more of a mental just roadblock, and he just wants to get out. He just wants all this to stop, and he has the power to do it. All he has to do is just walk away and do something else with his life, and that's what he chose to do. And Dungeon Buster says, back in the days of Richard Garriott and David Crane, print was like a buffer to what they might inadvertently say. Today, it takes a nanosecond to crucify someone over comments they made on Twitter. And True says, fame can be a bitch. So we're going to take a quick music break, and then we'll take your calls where you can tell me why I'm wrong, hopefully nicer in a nicer way than what Marcus Beer did. But we'll be able to take your calls after this quick music break. You're participating with the Bobby Blackwell Show here on the Voice of Geeks Network at VogNetwork.com.
I'm Jonathan Hemingway, game designer with Gearbox Software, and you're listening to my favorite show on the Citadel, the Bobby Blackwell Show.
Speaking of somebody who got crucified by the internet for something he said, Jonathan Hemingway, Gearbox Software, saying that I'm the best podcast around, I guess. I don't know. If you want to leave a bumper, you don't have to be a developer that's being trolled by the internet. You can leave a voicemail on the toll-free number that I'm about to give out, or you can send me in bumper an MP3 with just your voice to bumpers@bobbyblackwolf.com. Audible is offering a free audiobook download with a free 30-day trial to give you a chance to check out their service. You can get that 30-day free trial. You can get a free audiobook, and it's yours to keep even if you cancel before the trial is over. There's a whole bunch of audiobooks on there. Probably a lot of them are even indie audiobooks. You can make any of those your free audiobook. All you got to do is go to audibletrial.com/Bobby Blackwolf. So the phones are now open. Bobby Blackwolf Show on Skype, 1-888-36-GAME-1, toll-free in North America. You can call and talk about anything. Rob Roberts was saying there's, you know, tons of indie games out there. So Fez 2 is not going to be around, but there's a whole, that means you can spend that money that you're going to buy a Fez 2 with and play other great games like Rogue Legacy. To register participation for this week's episode of the Bobby Blackwell Show on VogNetwork.com, use the passphrase Riddle. Eric K. says, I'd buy Rogue Legacy if it were $5. It is totally worth more than $5. It is totally worth what they're charging for it. Trust me. So we do have a call here on the line. Bobby Blackwell Show, you are on the air. Who is this?
Hey, this is ActDeft.
ActDeft, what's up, man?
Well, Phil Fish.
Yeah?
He's either a real ass or a real, well, you know.
Yeah.
Or a great marketing person.
Mm-hmm.
Seriously.
I don't know. This has gotten so big, I think that if it turns out to be marketing, it's going to, like, really ruin the reputation.
Yeah, it's going to blow up in his face. If
I think it got too big.
Way too big.
Yeah.
So I really don't expect him to do a comeback. But if he does, like I said in chat, I probably hate him more because of that.
Yeah.
But anyways, I seriously didn't like Phil Fish in the beginning, at least when he started to become more vocal about mm-hmm. about his opinions and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Because I did try Fez when it came out years ago on XBLA, and I kind of liked it. It seems like a good game, and the music is pretty good. Mm-hmm. It's excellent.
Yeah.
But he started becoming more vocal and saw his opinions and stuff.
Which to me is fine, because, I mean, I'm vocal with my opinions. It's just how you express them.
Yeah, definitely.
And because it was because, like, he might have had a good point in the all Japanese games suck thing. He just phrased it as all Japanese games suck instead of being a little bit more nuanced.
Yeah, I saw the video on his commentary on Japanese games, and yeah, he straight up says, oh, all Japanese games suck. You suck. And he says it. But it's pretty, which makes it more bad, because he told that to a Japanese person, a Japanese developer. But later on in the video, another developer takes the mic and starts explaining why Japanese games are bad right now, or why most of them suck. And yeah, he has a point.
Yeah.
But Phil Fish, like, yeah, I'm gonna be an asshat, and I'll do whatever I want, and that's the problem with him.
Though, yeah, it's just he made this persona, or that's the persona that he has, and unfortunately, that means that other people are going to try to dish what you give out. Because, I mean, he does troll PC gamers, and he did for a long time. He trolls a lot of people. He's a very good troll. And it's just the trolling back, it's just there are better trolls than him out there, and they found him.
Yeah, and they were, like you said, they were better, better trolls.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry. And, well, basically, Phil Fish couldn't handle the heat.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know him personally, and I haven't seen, because many people have said that you saw you see a more intimate or at least feel a more personal touch with Phil Fish in the indie game movie.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't seen it, but I would imagine that he isn't a real stable person to be like doing that stuff. So it's
sad for him, because I mean I'm going on the assumption that this is not a marketing stunt, and I feel bad for him, because this shouldn't be the way it is. Like, that's what sucks, is that I don't see why the gaming industry has to be this negative with the internet trolling, and, you know, yeah, Phil started a lot of it too. But, you know, I don't like the idea of, oh, you want to be a game developer? Well, I hope you can handle the heat, or you might as well get out of the kitchen. And we're losing a lot of talented people because they release a game and then all this happens. Then they're like, I'd rather go make banking software, because at least then I don't get, you know, people hating me on the internet. And we get a lot of that. I mean, and there are a lot of great designers that got out because of the fan backlash. You know, I mean, I think of, you know, one of my, probably my favorite game, the designer left and he decided he'd rather go make playgrounds than make video games. And it was probably, you know, I think a little bit of it was because of the reaction and how people were just very over the top because of the anonymity of the internet.
Pretty much. And you said it. Big studios have their community managers mm-hmm. Read the comments and all that, so the developers don't get they don't get to see directly.
Yeah, those community managers, they deal with a lot of stuff. Like, that's not a fun job. You think it is, but it's really not.
Yeah, I can't imagine.
Anyway, other people are trying to call in. So, one last thought.
Well, basically, that indie developers need community managers. I was going to add that, but yeah, that's pretty much it.
All right. Thanks so much, man.
You too. Thanks.
Other people tried to call in, so we're going to go ahead and give them a shot to call in. Bobby Blackwell's show on Skype, 1-888-36-GAME-1, toll-free in North America. Game Guru says, if you're going to make a sweeping accusation like that, you should at least explain why the accusation is true. And I think that's what Phil didn't do. And there was that was where all that came from. So we have another caller on the line. Bobby Blackwell's show, you are on the air. Who is this?
This is Eric RPG.
Eric RPG, what's up, man?
Nothing much. I've been playing lots of review games.
Mm-hmm.
And one of them was Shadowrun Returns. I got done with that a couple days ago. And it's a pretty fun follow-up to the previous Shadowrun games.
So, by previous, which Shadowrun previous are you referring to?
The SNES, specifically, okay. And then the Genesis, I guess, okay. Because it takes elements from both of those, although it's more influenced with the Super Nintendo title.
Mm-hmm.
It even has cameos from Jake Armitage, who was the main character of that game.
See, to me, Shadowrun's still the pen-and-paper RPG.
Yeah. It has a lot more of the pen-and-paper in it, though.
Yeah.
Even though it plays more like a tactical, turn-based RPG.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's good, because, you know, the 2007 Shadowrun was not Shadowrun.
It was a game that had, like, things from Shadowrun, but it wasn't Shadowrun.
Right. So you're liking that?
Yeah.
Okay. So what really, I mean, so you basically just it calls back to the Super Nintendo version, and that's pretty much what you like?
It uses an isometric view.
Okay. Is it an indie game, or where is it? I know it exists, but I haven't really looked up on it.
It is on Steam.
Okay.
And the way the game's set up is that it kind of like Neverwinter Nights, where there will be modules that you can download for free, and those will be the stories you play.
Gotcha.
And I think the development team's going to make more modules over time, but there's only handful of user-created content right now.
Right. Well, I mean, it's a new thing, so it takes a while. Yeah, see, and that's the Neverwinter Nights, like, back in the day, like, the first Neverwinter Nights, or not the first Neverwinter Nights, because the first Neverwinter Nights was, like, an AOL game in the mid-90s. But the Neverwinter Nights that actually came out with the DMing tools and stuff, that was something that I wish other people would have run with.
And the game makes it more convenient, too, because, like, once you're done with the game, you could just, straight from the menu, you could just download new content from the community, and unlike Neverwinter, where you'd have to go online somewhere and look for it.
Right, but, I mean, the Neverwinter system, like, even having, like, the GM abilities and stuff, where you could run people through a campaign, and that was stuff that I really hadn't seen. Like, there was a Vampire the Masquerade, one of the games, Redemption, I think, not Bloodlines, but I think it was Redemption, also had the storyteller system where you could do, you know, run people through an actual vampire campaign online. One person's the GM, can control the NPCs. You could have scripted NPCs as well, but you could bring in an NPC and, you know, fight the party and things like that. And I really wish there were more games that did that and brought the pen and paper, the tabletop experience to games in that sense, where one person can be the GM and run their module using the video game technology, and we don't see that all that much. Now, is Shadowrun like that, or is it just you make a scripted module and other people play it in a single-player setting?
Other people play it in a single-player setting. Although, there is a Shadowrun online that's coming out in the future.
Mm-hmm.
It might be more multiplayer-ish.
Yeah, but even then, it's, you know, that sounds like, I mean, if it's an MMO type of thing, it's going to be the people creating the content or the developers and not necessarily user created. So, I mean, I was really high. I actually beta tested both Neverwinter Nights and the Vampire Redemption game because of the storyteller features. And, you know, they had a long way to go, and unfortunately, I guess it didn't get adopted all that much. Because I remember Neverwinter Nights 2 was coming out, and I did an interview at E3 with them. And I apparently broke the story that they weren't going to put in the GM mode in Neverwinter Nights 2, because nobody else asked that question. And it's like, it like actually made like news in the Neverwinter Nights community that this was like the first declaration that they weren't going to have the GM mode. And they're like, well, we hope to have it later on. I don't know if Neverwinter Nights 2 ever put in the GM mode. I don't know. Maybe Dungeon Buster will be like, oh, yeah, they eventually put
it
in.
I haven't actually played it yet either, yeah. So I don't know.
So it was a really neat system, a really neat idea, and I guess it didn't take off enough for them to improve on it. So this is something the Shadowrun team can do if they're listening. ..
Yeah.
So what else are you playing?
I've been playing Dragon's Crown. I think it's okay to talk about me playing a game but not talking about the game.
Right, yeah. There's more and more, like, it's kind of interesting because, like, embargoes and stuff, the one, you know, I've been playing Saints Row 4, and they even encourage you to say that. Like, one of the things in the embargo is you can tell people you're playing the game, and in fact, the way that they look at it is it generates hype. You know, by me going on Twitter and saying, I'm playing Saints Row 4, and they're even retweeting all the media people that are playing it, and it's basically, it brings up hype and stuff. You know, okay, the game is in reviewers' hands now, oh, I'm excited now. And so, it is kind of interesting, sometimes you can't say what you're playing, and like, especially if it's like an Xbox game, they're like, okay, you need to set your profile to private so people can't see what you're playing. And, you know, Steam actually obscures it for you if it's a press code.
Yeah,
and stuff. So,
and with Nintendo's idea of embargoes, they just don't want you to talk about specific things in the game.
Yeah. Yep. So yeah, review season's coming up. So, all right. Thanks for your call, man. I appreciate it.
No problem.
So that's all the calls we're going to take tonight. Thank you so much, everybody, for calling in. Coming up next here on the Voice of Geeks Network at VogNetwork.com, Orange Lounge Radio. Three people out in Sacramento, California, who talk about games for much, much longer than I do. They even talk about more things than just one thing. But, hey, this was an important thing that I wanted to talk about. So we like to check in with them if Skype wants to cooperate, which it doesn't. And
you've reached the Orange Lounge Radio message line.
What?
We are currently accepting messages for our 10-year anniversary special.
What? Your 10-year anniversary special was last year.
Pacific, what? 9 Eastern at VogNetwork.com.
Your 10-year anniversary special was last year. Why is your voicemail greeting still about that?
I didn't even realize it was still doing that. Sorry about that. Yes, I'm very rushed tonight. I'm sorry about that, Bobby. And I was turning away the other way to talk at somebody else, and I turn back, and you're calling in, and I'm like, oh, no. And I just missed it, so sorry about that.
Sacramento, are you guys there?
We are here, Bobby. How are you?
I'm doing good. So we lost Phil Fish.
I don't know. I don't know what to feel. I mean, I haven't seen this movie. I've played Fez. I don't really know this guy. He seems to be a bit of a troll or whatever, but I really have very little opinion here.
Yeah, I mean, I think the thing that we learned here is that no matter how good you are at something like, say, trolling, there is going to be someone better than you, and they will want to prove it to you. There is always someone out there better than you at anything.
I suppose. And honestly, you know, there's a lot of focus on Fez this week, but, you know, there's so much other indie games out there that there's a lot to talk about and, you know, a lot to be playing. So,
yeah, because you're enjoying Rogue Legacy. Have you played it more since that one stream that I saw?
Right after the show last week, I did some Rogue Legacy over on Twitch. And, I did play it a little more this week, actually. It's a lot of fun. It's a great fun. I love the randomly generated castles. You can't really memorize layouts or anything like that, so it really is kind of a new experience every time. It's a great mechanic.
Yeah. And then, but like, then you're like, oh, well, I knew how to get to... Oh, I can't get there anymore. Not with this character.
Right.
But no, I've had fun with it. I'm still kind of low level, so I'm still terrible. But you know, but it is. I like the game. I enjoyed the mechanic, and I like stuff like that. That you know, thinks outside the box. And you know, the great thing is that you know indies are thriving, especially on Steam. So you know, I think Microsoft maybe wants to get in on that a little bit.
Yeah, exactly. Rogue Legacy would have been a pretty cool Xbox. In fact, when you plug the controller in to the PC, it switches to all Xbox controller things. So, I mean, it knows. So, I don't know what else to think about this particular situation. It's just, I don't think the media element of it goes without blame either.
Right.
But my whole thing is, you know, I don't know this annoyed gamer guy either, but I mean, if that's what you're going to call yourself, that's kind of the thing about the industry that irritates a lot of us is like, why are you going to buy into that whole negativity and all that? I mean, angry video game nerd to some extent is okay. I let that one slide because that's parody or whatever, but this whole, you know, annoyed gamer making a thing out of that, like just, I don't understand why Phil Fish felt the need to respond to this guy. Like, just ignore him.
Yeah. Well, I mean, eventually it gets hard to ignore. Like, because I apparently, like, Marcus has attacked Phil Fish multiple occasions.
Well, and screw so. That guy. I mean, I don't get it because, you know, then maybe you need to stop going to the mainstream press. There's tons of indie press out here that would be perfectly happy to promote your game and talk about it and so forth. But if you don't want to play with us, then go play with the big boy rules. And this is the stuff that will happen to you.
Yeah.
Have fun.
So, I mean, all they wanted was a comment on a rumor. And instead of saying, I don't comment on rumors and speculation, he fires back and complains that the, you know, he doesn't want to be the lapdog for the media and all that stuff.
So to that extent, he does need to calm himself. Yeah.
And if that means he needs to, you know, walk away from all this, then that's what he needs to do, and I wish him well.
It's very Amanda Bynes, though. Sorry.
Yeah. Mic's off.
Yeah. Oh. He needs a two-week vacation and plenty of adult beverages.
Yes. So I got to ask, what's a tosspot?
It's an insult. It's like jackass or something.
Okay, I figured that's what it was, but you were so happy that I said it. I'm like, I'm just quoting someone else.
I just giggled.
Wasn't that the mechanic in Crazy Climber? Somebody was actually tossing pots off the side of the building and trying to knock you down.
It has to do with drinking. So
yeah. So did I miss what else happened this week? Because I only talked about really the one story.
You know, it has been quite a bit of a slow news week. The numbers came out about the Ouya. I don't know if you heard about that.
Oh, yeah.
But the fact, what, 27% of people who have bought an Ouya have actually bought a game for said Ouya?
Really? I'm not shocked. I don't know why I'm not shocked.
Because everybody's using it to install emulators. At least that was my perception.
That's not even it.
What do you think it is?
It's because a lot of the games are free, and they only have, like, because not a lot of the games, all the games have a free element to them, and a lot of them are just free. Like, they had early versions of the game up on the marketplace that are free. Like, every game that I have so far, I think, is free. I mean, at the time, there wasn't even paid versions available because the game wasn't done yet. So, I mean, aside from Final Fantasy III, but, and my controller didn't work.
Right.
Although, it's funny enough, they actually replied back on Tuesday saying, your replacement RMA controller has been sent and you should be receiving the shipment soon. Although, I have no sort of confirmation or any sort of shipping tracking information or anything like that, so I have to kind of take that as, you know.
So we're both sitting here waiting for the UPS man that we don't know when he's coming.
You think that pay for UPS?
Yeah, exactly.
That's true. My guy, the people I ordered from use UPS.
But yes, and at least that's somewhat reliable. No, I'm actually considering. I don't even know what I'm going to do with the Ouya when I do get that fixed controller. It may just go up on eBay because I get that much use out of it. So
yeah,
I don't know.
Well, I'm sorry the Ouya kind of bombed.
Yeah. Whatever. Yeah. It's each, like, especially this week. I don't know if you guys like paid attention to any of that Google morning conference thing that they had where they were talking about like the
The TV dongle thing.
Yeah, they were talking about like the what was it?
Chromecast.
The Chromecast, yeah. So with the Chromecast and with, you know, publishing being, you know, the whole Google Play Games stuff, it's like day after day that it is becoming less and less relevant because everybody's kind of, you know, with, now that you can self-publish on all the big platforms, it's just like, well, I guess that this console where you can self-publish isn't such a big deal anymore, you know?
Yeah. But I think what it did is that it proved to everybody else that there is a market for a console like that, and so everybody else decided to do it better. Because now, you know, I mean, at E3, I saw a whole bunch of Android-based consoles that existed probably because they said, oh, you know, everybody wants the Ouya, so let's make something that's like the Ouya but make it better. And that's what a lot of people are doing.
And that's sad because now you have, once again, early adopter syndrome. Yeah.
Yeah. That's why I warned people not to pay the $99 2 years ago and wait till it came out on store shelves to see what it was like. I warned everybody.
But it can make a recovery just like PlayStation Vita.
Yeah. And the 3DS.
You never know. You never know. But it is going to take those, like, you know, two or three games that, you know, you just can't get anywhere else. And at the end of the day, when somebody's going to write for the Ouya, you probably can get it everywhere else.
Well, yeah. The thing with the Ouya, though, is it is – you're going to see a lot of games on it because it's so easy to port from Android to it that why wouldn't you? You know, add another marketplace that you can have your game in there. So I think you're going to still see a lot of games coming to it, but it's not like – it's not as big of a deal as it was. And it's also quite underpowered compared to some of the other stuff that's coming out now.
Yeah. Shadow Nixon says the 3DS actually did make a recovery. Well, the Vita's going to make a recovery too, I think, especially with the indie games and stuff. I mean, if they really do position that to be like an indie game powerhouse like they want for the Vita, I think it can make a recovery too because it's a good system and, you know, indie games seem to love it.
The Vita is a great piece of technology, but I think it'll take a soft relaunch with a price cut around the holiday to really make it move. And the problem is Sony's so fixated on PlayStation 4.
Right.
That's where all the advertising dollars are going to go. So that realistically probably wouldn't happen until next year. But of course, if at all. But granted, the 3DS has made an amazing recovery and ironically is what's really keeping Nintendo afloat this year with, you know, the Wii U. We're kind of waiting still for those big games and so forth for this holiday.
A couple more months.
Yeah. You mean the big games where they took out a main element because people had YouTube? That one was interesting. I think, and if people don't know what I'm talking about, Smash Brothers, they announced that there's not going to be like a Subspace Emissary or a story mode. And the reason they gave is because people were uploading the cutscenes to YouTube. And so they were like, well, why do we even bother if most people don't want to even experience them in the game? Why bother putting them in the game? I think what it is they need to have this game out ASAP. And so they're going to concentrate on the part of Smash Brothers people actually play instead of the cutscenes. And I think they're just using YouTube as an excuse.
I'm okay with cutscenes and story mode getting cut a little short, but those little side games and all the vast amount of unlockables is also part of what makes Smash Brothers really awesome.
I really hope
they don't cut corners there.
I liked Subspace Emissary mode. I mean, I guess I'm in the minority.
I enjoyed it too.
But whatever. I mean, that's fine. Still don't have a Wii U, so it doesn't really matter to me what they do with it. But
it's coming out for 3DS as well.
It seems like it's so rushed, though. Like, they're saying, oh, well, we're not going to have as many characters. Oh, we're not going to have as many features. We're just going to keep cutting to get that game out quicker.
Maybe it'll be what everybody wants and be Melee 1.5.
Just like the Xbox One launch stuff, you know? You know, features being, you know, postponed to the last minute in Forza, and then you've got, you know, Kinect Sports. The only Kinect-focused game at launch. You know, the whole reason to kind of justify having a Kinect with that system not coming out this year.
Yeah.
Why don't they have the cutscenes spawn both the touchpad and the screen? Like, use some, because that would be a way harder to YouTube if somehow the two of them interacted together. Because nobody really rips both at the same time.
Because then they would have to make the development time longer for the game.
Because
I'm just calling kind of BS on that.
But because of off-screen play. That's why.
Yeah, right. Because they can't guarantee that both screens are going to be used on the Wii U.
True.
All right. What else are you guys going to be talking about?
Well, we also have some reasoning behind some things that have developed in the game industry, like Mega Man Legends 3, a little more insight as to the cancellation behind that, and the car that you can drive with an NES controller, all coming up soon.
All right. Thanks so much, guys.
Thank you, as always, Bobby.
So that is it for me. I will be back next Sunday night, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific, right here on the Voice of Geeks Network at VogNetwork.com. You can catch us live and interact with the show directly. You can leave me a voicemail on any topic or bumper on the toll-free number, 1-888-36-GAME-1, or email me an MP3, bumpers@BobbyBlackWolf.com. I'm on Facebook, Facebook.com/BobbyBlackWolf, Twitter, @BobbyBlackWolf, or you can contact me on my website, BobbyBlackWolf.com. If you like the show, tell a friend. If you hate the show, tell an enemy. I don't care. Just tell someone. The show is obviously not for everybody, but it may be for somebody who doesn't know about it yet. But we would not be able to make the live show work at all without the help of the chatters. So thank you very much, Dark Sakura, Dark Tetsuya. I have never mispronounced that name until right now. I am so embarrassed. DC Nate, Misty, Ronma, Rob Roberts, The Rob D, VXJasonXV, Doomplague, Fifth Dream, Havoc978, Shadow Next Gen, Loki, ActDeft, Amano Jacko, I think that's how you pronounce it, Breakman, Raginator, Azure Edge, Boschka, Bob Coffee, Brad from Pod Culture, Broken Sidewalk, Bird, De Blue Guy, Dungeon Buster, E3VL, Eric K, Game Guru, Kazan, Maddie, Mako, Matt Cube, MXC, MXT, Orange Wright, Shadows Liar, SJ100Matt, Tiger Claw, Toagak, True, What Up G, Zappy, and Zether. So that's it for me. I will be playing Saints Row 4, so whatever. Because that's what I'm going to be doing. I'm allowed to tell you that. I just can't tell you anything else until August 14th. It's a lot of fun. See you, bye.
A winner is you. The views and opinions expressed are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and are not necessarily the opinions of
the VOG Network, people who need to hire new voiceover guys,
or your mom. Although if Bobby said it, it really should be. This has been a production of Bobby Blackwolf Studios.